The Book of the Prophet Ezekiel. Chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox, on the left side. They also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the creatures ran and returned, as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went, thither was their Spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me.
As I, with the help of the Lord, intend to share the message of the prophetic book of Ezekiel the prophet with you, I would like us for a moment to, in our thinking, to go back to the days of the King Solomon. Back to the days when, after a progress beyond description in the days of the King David, as the borders of God's kingdom were expanded in every direction, as the power of God was manifested in victory after victory over their enemies, there come a time of peace, prosperity, abundance, and the temple of the Lord God, Jehovah, has been built, and the king's palace has been completed, and everything is wonderful and great. But there is one thing that I regret, and I think we should lament when we think about that time of prosperity. The people used to the prosperity disregarded it. And the King Solomon got used to his fame and glory, but never was satisfied. And after building for so long, and after he grew older, he didn't say, well, that's enough. Enough of that forced labor. Enough of those big taxes. Enough of my demands and multiplying wives and adding to my pleasure. Let these people rest a little bit. Let them seek the Lord their God. Let the prophets walk to the people and turn their hearts back to the Lord. Let there be a time of fasting and prayer. Somehow we don't find that recorded in the days of the King Solomon. It was vanity, vanity and vanity. And the name of the Lord God was forgotten and forsaken. Or the other way around, forsaken and then forgotten. The wisest man of all men on the earth did the most foolish thing that any fool can do. Turn from the Lord God Almighty, from the living God, to the vain idols. And after that, the prophets were sent one after another to proclaim to the people the will of the Lord. Occasionally, there was restoration. There was turning back to the Lord and prosperity again. But most of the time, the following kings and governments were turning further and further away from the Lord. And what happened in the days of the prophet Jeremiah? Jeremiah was sent to the king at that time, and he was sent to the princes, and he was sent to the people. The Lord has sent the prophet Jeremiah with the message of submission, repentance, turning to the Lord, forsaking their evil ways. And they just would not listen. And Jeremiah the prophet was persecuted, tortured, abused in so many different ways. And he continued proclaiming the message from the Lord, the message of the Word of God. And they continued disobeying, not listening. They even said that the prophet Jeremiah does not desire the good of the people, but evil, because he is telling them the truth of the Lord. So much was their heart alienated from the Word of God. So much was their mind darkened by their self-will and hypocrisy, their lies. They did not want to hear the truth. They would rather hear lies, because they believed that it's not important what the truth is. What is important, that we hear what we want to hear. And finally, there was a time when the prophet Jeremiah himself could see what he himself was foretelling, what the word of God proclaimed through the prophet Jeremiah, and that is, Jerusalem is destroyed, and the temple of God is in ruins, and the people of God are taken captive, a remnant that has not been destroyed in all the awful and terrible invasion of the Babylonian armies. The temple is no more. The Ark of the Covenant is not there. Everything is in ruins. And as we turn to the book of Lamentation, we can see what an awful experience that was. But then, here is the remnant of God's people in captivity. And in their captivity, many of them continued their idolatry, continued their wicked ways. Many of them continued blaspheming with their deeds the name of the Almighty God. And yet, as we look through the scripture, the great prophecies and the great revelation of the Almighty God did not appear only to the tiny remnant of the true believers and the faithful ones, those that were converted to the Lord through their repentance, through their turning away from their sin and following the word of God, calling upon the name of the Lord, that the word of God and the glory and majesty of the Lord has been revealed to all the kingdoms of the world in the days of great and difficult suffering. Isn't that amazing? I think that there is something wonderful in understanding, in seeing that above all the things that happen in this world, there is that great and mighty power of the Almighty God. And even our enemy, even the prince of darkness, all the fallen angels, and all the slaves of sin, even those that will not accept the calling of the Lord, eventually, in the end, will have to bend their knees and acknowledge that the Lord God is the true God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is to the glory of God the Father. This Ezekiel, the prophet, was one of the priests. And the interesting thing is that among the priests, those that misled the people, misguided the nation of Judah, there were some that did believe. Some of them, by reading the Word of God, reading the old scriptures, understanding the old prophecies, and seeing the old prophecies fulfilled in their days, they realized that the Lord is gracious, and yet He is just. They realized that He is the true God, and they turned to the Lord. He was an educated man, this prophet Ezekiel. His book, to some extent, reminds me of the Gospel according to Luke. He is giving the time, the location. He is very clear in his introduction to the book. It came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the verse number 4 we read, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and the fire unfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures. The whirlwind is like an awful thing. It's something frightening, something terrible. And out of that, out of the midst of that, comes the revelation of the Lord. Oh, I would like us to see that. I would like every believer to see that. But I would love to see myself seeing more of that. That out of all the trouble that is in the world, for those that believe the word of God, for those that incline their hearing to hear the voice of the Lord Spirit, there is a wonderful revelation coming out of that. When we read about these 4 living creatures, they would probably remind us of the 4 living creatures in the revelation given to John at the end of this book. And the interesting thing to me is that in the revelation given to John, we find so much out of the book of Daniel, the prophet, and from the book of Ezekiel, the prophet. And then we find that in the book of the revelation, the final revelation that we read at the end of this book, we find something out of every part of the scripture. It looks like this whole book and this whole universe that God has created is centered around our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's impossible to explain. It's impossible to describe that. But it's always, I believe, available to us to understand a little more to see more clearly, and especially at a time like this one that we are having upon us these days, to perceive, to sense that the Lord is doing something great and wonderful. Even though He has allowed the powers of darkness and the forces of evil to be manifested in doing awful and terrible things. I think it's helpful to us to sense the glory of the Almighty God, to realize the glory and the majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might understand how glorious and how wonderful is the ministry that He has given to us, so that we would not waste the precious time given to us, that we should not seek comfort among the comfortless, that we should not look for peace in this restless world, that we should not seek joy and strength from those that are lifeless, but rather look into the book of books and also look up toward the heavenly height. And as we look up and as we look down around us, that we may see the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Almighty God, everywhere, but consciously, with awareness experienced in the hearts and minds of those that believe the Word of God. Believe and obey. I looked for a moment at this verse number 10, the likeness of the four living creatures. They had their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. On which side was the face of the eagle? The Word of God in His glory did not have the back side. There is nothing back. Everything is front. Everything is right and left. Everything is visible. Everything is exposed. The glory of God has no shadow. There is no darkness in Him. What is the meaning, the significance of these four faces on each one of the four creatures? First, they had the face of a man. It just came to my mind a song that we used to sing when I was a child. It was a big song. It was a massive, one of those majestic songs about the glory of the Almighty God. And one of the lines said, He was born like a child and He overcame the whole world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords suffered as the Lamb of God. It was such a song that at times, even as a child, I was not able to understand what was going on. It was so majestic just to be surrounded with the sound of that song. Why the face of a lion? We remember in the book of Revelation when John saw the book sealed with the seals in the hand of Him that was sitting on the throne, and the strong voice proclaimed, "Who is able to take the book from the hand of the Almighty, to break the seals, to look into the book?" Which probably meant to fulfill the will of the Almighty God. And no one was found. John wept, lamented, because in that revelation he received the perception, the awareness, that it was of utmost importance that the seals be broken, that the book be open, and that someone would fulfill the perfect will of the Almighty God. He heard the voice, "Weep not, for the Lion of Judah prevailed." He was called, the one that is going to do that great thing, was called the Lion of Judah. And when John looked up to see the Lion of Judah, he saw the Lamb, and it was slain. And that's one thing that I would like us to understand. I think I need more understanding of that. That our war, our battle, is not against flesh and blood. It's not wrestling by the muscle power. It's not by assassinating some people. It's not by bombing some cities. No, our war is against the powers in high places, the principalities, the rulers, the prince of darkness. Where is that war? Well, the war is in our mind and heart. That's the city of the man soul that should be conquered by Emmanuel, the great El Shaddai, the King of Kings. And when in our mind and in our heart we turn those principalities and the powers of darkness and the rulers of darkness, when we turn them down and we are open to the light of the Lord, when we see that our Lord and Savior in his suffering prevailed against the fury of the enemy, oh, then we are open and willing to receive that power and to follow him, to be patient and to endure in the suffering, because he is giving the strength and power. Because we know that there is no such a thing that a man can offer for the redemption of his soul. And it's vain to gain the whole world and lose my own soul. We read here that one of the faces was the face of a man. He did come as a man in a body like ours, but sinless one, something that we never knew. And the face of a lion, one that is going to conquer, that is the victor, because there is only one thing ahead of him, the only one direction: the Father's will be done. But on the left side was the face of an ox. What is an ox? Looking physically, it was the largest, the biggest of all sacrifices. There was no greater nor bigger sacrifice than an ox. And yet, the blood was the same. As the blood of an ox was shed when the ox was sacrificed, so the blood of a turtle dove or the blood of a pigeon was shed when that pigeon or that dove was sacrificed. And that is an enormous revelation. Can we imagine? Can we perceive? When we offer ourselves on the altar of the Most Holy Faith, and that altar has a name that I have recorded on it myself in my limited understanding. When Elijah restored the altar of the Lord, he placed the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. But nowadays, as we come to the altar of the Lord, what name are we going to put on it? I gave it a name: full surrender to the Lord. That's why our path will often be sowing with tears. Not because of the difficulties around us, but because of the difficulties inside of us. Because I need more of the grace of the Lord. Oh, he has given much more than I have received. But I need more grace to receive his grace, to surrender fully and completely, to be a Lazarus, to be a Paul, to be a Stephen, to be, just as one of the songs says, to be nothing, just to sit down at his feet, a broken, an emptied vessel, and as such for the Master's use made meet, broken that he could heal me, emptied that he could fill me. Or to be nothing, nothing, just to sit down at his feet, sacrifice. If we could but understand that sacrificing is not a loss. It's not giving up something that is good, but rather giving ourselves to the Lord to be able and willing to receive from him that which is good. Then comes the face of an eagle after all the suffering, after the last cry from the cross: it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the darkness was taken away from Golgotha, and the people returned back, smiting their breast in their bitterness, receiving the first realization that when their sin is fulfilled, all that is left is not satisfaction, but agony. After all of that, after the disciples lamented for so long, the Lord appeared to them and said, "Peace be unto you." And then, after he talked to them, I think it was 40 days and 40 nights, they were seeing him, he was visiting them, and they were filled more and more with the understanding of his word, with the message from above, and preparing their hearts and their minds through prayer and supplication for the great moment when they will obey the Lord gladly, joyfully, fearlessly. One day the Lord led them outside, I think it was the Mount of Olives, and he told them the last words that they heard from him, seeing him face to face. And he stretched forth his arms, and with his hands lifted up, he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he was moving up. His work in the flesh was finished. He was leaving this earth. And they were watching. And as he was rising up higher and higher, the disciples were turning at him. A cloud came and covered him. And after everything was out and away from their sight, way beyond their horizon, and as they were still looking up toward heaven, they heard a voice from above. The angel said, "Why are you looking up? The past is past. Look forward to the things that are ahead of you. Obey the voice of the Lord and do His will." So they saw the face of the Lord rising up as the face of an eagle. When Stephen, in the last moments of his earthly journey, looked up, he saw the face of Christ the Lord. If you look at the verse number 22, in the same chapter, we can see again that above the cherubims was the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures, and the color of that firmament was as terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. Again, Ezekiel is seeing the glory of the Almighty God. He received the revelation, then he received the commandment of the Lord, what to do with that revelation. The revelation was given to him to strengthen him, to encourage him, to make him strong. And then the commandment was given to him to receive the word of God, to digest the word of God, to live according to the word of God, and then to proclaim the word of God. And that is a teaching for us today. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "If anyone will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And one of the disciples asked, "What is the reward for that work and that ministry, that way of living?" Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "If anyone will forsake everything for the name of Christ, each one will receive manifold more in value, in number, in duration, even in persecution, even in suffering." The Lord is giving us not only a commandment, but a great, wonderful opportunity to serve Him, to worship Him, and to minister to one another. In the verse 24 we read, "When they went, these living creatures, the prophet heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings." He was looking. He was beholding the revelation of God's glory and majesty. Can we today, as we read these words, and after seeing the things that are taking place in the world around us, and after experiencing day by day the conflict and confrontation of the teaching of the world, the deception of Satan against us in our striving to do the will of the Lord, can we see the glory of the Almighty God? We should, because it's there. In a way, that's part of what I meant to share with you when I said the ox was the greatest sacrifice. The suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is greater than any sacrifice anyone ever offered. It's this sacrifice that redeemed us. And yet to us was given, to us has been given, not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to suffer with Him. How do we suffer with Him? Suffering, or since our suffering, is not worth to be compared with one moment of His agony. How do we suffer with Him? When we are in Christ, when we obey the word of God, when we accept His calling, when we are content, pleased with the place, time, and ministry that He has given us in all our difficulties. He is suffering with us because He loves us. He feels everything that we suffer. That's a great mystery. How can someone who is in peace and joy and glory and majesty in the beauty of His holiness, in that wonderful kingdom, how can He suffer with us? I think all of us did, at least sometimes, watch a small child doing something, trying to accomplish something, and doing that with such a zeal, such a desire to accomplish that, and sometimes groaning and trying to do something that seemed to be almost above his or her ability. And we watch that child is suffering the strain, the effort, and yet we don't feel that much sorry for the child. It's wonderful. That child is growing through that exercise, learning through that. If we could see and understand what is the depth of wisdom that the Lord is revealing to us in our efforts, in our suffering, in our striving to do His will, we could do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. When you suffer, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. He that has forsaken everything and followed the Lord Jesus Christ will receive hundredfold. The joy and the comfort and the peace and the blessing that we receive through our submission to the Word of God is greater in its value than anything that the world can offer, offering pride, self-will, and sinful pleasures. May the Lord bless His Word and give us grace to continue seeking His glory and His honor and receiving His revelation. In closing, I can read a few more verses here. Let me repeat from the verse number 22 to the verse number 27 of this chapter 1 of Ezekiel. The likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the noise of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, talking about the man and the throne, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the rainbow that is in the clouds in the days of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell down upon my face, as the prophet fell down upon his face. He did hear the voice of the one speaking to him. May we also, when we fall down upon our knees before the Lord, may we hear the voice of his word and obey it. And then he said, in the beginning of chapter 2, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And as Ezekiel obeyed the word, and he stood upon his feet, the Spirit of the Lord entered into him. When the Lord spake unto the prophet, and the Spirit set him upon his feet, and he heard him that spake unto him. In the verse 28 of that chapter, when Ezekiel saw the glory of God, he fell upon his face. He heard the voice of one that spake. As the Lord was talking to Ezekiel, by the word of God, hearing the word of God, Ezekiel received the power of the Spirit of God. And that lifted him up upon his feet, that he can walk and proclaim the word of God. Then he heard the voice of the Spirit clearly. Before he heard the voice, now he hears the words. The word of God is the Spirit and the truth.